Yeah, this Helene's been something else. A lot of damage left behind and so forth. And President Biden and VP Harris visiting different parts of the affected area. Fox News Radio's Ryan Schmelz with us this morning. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
So where's the president today then?
So it looks like he's going to be heading, honestly, within the next hour to Georgia, as well as Tallahassee, Florida, where some of the damage has been pretty severe. And he's going to be doing, I think, similar to what he did yesterday, where he surveys the damage and talks with local officials and first responders.
Is it much more than that? Is it anytime we have these over the years, presidents will go and visit areas like that. Is it just to kind of boost morale and let people know that somebody's thinking about them?
Well, yeah, it's also an opportunity for him to see the damage for himself,
yeah.
You know, talk with local officials and make sure that that line of communication stays strong. But also, yes, I mean, there needs to be the assurances that the federal government is there, because the federal government has faced some criticism over the response, or what some people believe may be a lack of response. So, it depends on who you ask, obviously, but this is something that needs to be addressed, obviously.
In a situation like this, just the practicality of it is that do all these people have the ability to get low-interest loans or something to rebuild? Do you know?
We'll have to wait and see. I think there is
okay.
Insurance, you know, that plays into this and all that, and there could be federal assistance programs. Obviously, there's a federal flood insurance program. And then, you know, Vice President Harris said that, you know, everyone's going to be eligible for like $750, which obviously ain't going to cover a home repair, but
no.
It, you know, can help with food and all that in the meantime. And then there's also the, President Biden said that in terms of rescue operations, debris pickup, all that will be covered for the majority of the states for 3 months. North Carolina, I believe that's going to be covered by the federal government for 6 months.
Now, my total this morning was something like 180 people dead after this tragedy. But there's still a lot of people missing, are there not, Ryan?
Yeah, that's the major concern. I mean, I've seen some of the images just from people. I have friends I have on Instagram who are in some of these areas. I mean, the water's above houses in some places. It's concerning. And yes, there's a big rescue operation going on, a big search and rescue operation going on in numerous states right now, from the Coast Guard to local officials. And it's obviously a scary time.
You know, I've seen video of a house, a big old house just floating down a river. And I'm thinking,
yeah,
I was saying yesterday, I'm a pretty good swimmer, but you get into that kind of water and you don't have a lot of chance. You better get out of there if you can quickly.
Yeah. That was actually something I believe President Biden addressed or brought up when he was right after he got done surveying the damage was just the image of a house that was supposed to be in one location, actually been moved to another location because of just how bad the floodwaters are. That's the kind of situation we're dealing with right now. This is one of the worst hurricanes we've seen in a while, and it's a major concern.
Do you know, Ryan, do you know if Asheville has ever, the water's gone down there in Asheville? Because I know Asheville got really pounded.
Yeah, I think they're prone to mudslides and all that, but for an area like that to have this type of storm damage, I think it is kind of rare. Obviously, we expect it with the Outer Banks. Those are seasoned hurricane preppers over there. But, you know, for Asheville to be hit like this, I think it was kind of a once-in-a-generation type of storm for them. Yeah, I think that also goes with Tallahassee, Florida. That's kind of an area of Florida that might not get the same type of hurricane impacts as some of the southern parts of the state, but they certainly got hit pretty hard, and that's why the president's going there today.
See, sir, you're correct. And the people on the coast, most of them have in that area, say, well, we've been through this before. We know what to do. But when you get clear up into where, you know, some of these areas are clear inland for you know, a couple, 300-400 miles.
Yeah. And I mean, that was, I remember being in North Carolina after Hurricane Florence, and I was covering that hurricane, and people, you know, there were some folks who were really devastated, and you don't want to ever discount that. But there was a good amount of folks who said, well, we know, we thought this could have been worse. And there were a number of places that had electricity back up within a week. And, you know, a lot of businesses were back open. And obviously, that's always a good sign. But, you know, for the inland part of the state to see this, yeah, it is pretty rare. And it's pretty surreal.
Well, and Congress, you know that you're the person who covers Congress quite a bit. They are out now. They've all gone home, so they're not going to do anything for a while on this, right?
Well, that's what we understand. They're home for now. There is a push by a bipartisan group of senators from the impacted states who are pushing to have Congress come back from recess early and to try to pass an aid bill that would replenish the disaster relief fund. Now, from what we understand, DRF has been funded $20 billion, and the government has access to that right now. And I think the question is, too, is that going to get dried up before they get back in November? We're not quite sure. Speaker Johnson said that they're still assessing how much this damage is going to cost and what the true impact is going to be, which could take up to a month. So we might not know what Congress needs to do in for a number of weeks anyway, which could come to the end of recess.
Ryan, thanks for being with us this morning. We sure appreciate it. That's Fox News Radio's Ryan Schmelz, as the president and vice president are visiting damaged areas after the hurricane. A Virginia school board has agreed to shell out $575 to a former teacher who was fired for refusing to use a transgender student's pronouns. As part of the settlement, Peter Vlaming will also have his firing expunged from his record. This is according to West Point Public Schools in Virginia. The lawsuit stemmed from the 2018 firing of Vlaming, who claimed he simply avoided using pronouns by addressing the student by name whenever possible. Vlaming told the school board he had an issue with using pronouns instead of because of his sincerely held religious and philosophical beliefs. In other words, you use a gender-neutral format. If I talk to you, I can't say he or him.
Well, then you're supposed to use whatever the person wants to be used.
But they want to. And how do you, yeah.
Could be neutral, could be either, right. Could be something else.
Well, I'm not going to make light of people, but, you know, if all I said was, you can call me what you want to, just don't call me late for supper. So I've been called a lot of things, but.
Oh, so have I.
Yeah. Oh, people get kind of sensitive about this stuff. What about Nibby?
Welcome to America in the 21st century.
We're so sensitive.
Everybody's offended by something.
How about this story about a beaver named Nibby?
We can all get behind Nibby.
Oh, yeah. 2-year-old beaver. Whether he gets to stay with the rescuers. Oh, it's a she, I guess. She has, or could be a he, because you don't know what she wants to be called.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, the beaver was a baby, and it must be released into wild as winter approaches in Massachusetts. It's all ended up in court because there was an uproar that even the governor has weighed in.
Oh, boy.
A judge Tuesday said, for now, Nibby will be allowed to stay in her home at Newhouse Wildlife Rescue in Chelmsford, located northwest of Boston. A hearing has been set for Friday in the case the rescuers filed against Mass Wildlife, the state's Division of Fisheries and Wildlife, to stop the release. In other words, I guess the wildlife expert is saying, you know, this thing, we got to take Nibby and release it back in the wild, and she'll be okay because, you know, beavers know what to do. And the other people are saying, no, Nibby won't survive because Nibby's been in captivity all this time.
Which is the deal we had with Choppa.
Choppa?
Here in town.
Well, whatever happened to Choppa?
Wanted out, got out. They'd find him swimming in the river.
Choppa got out on his own.
He got out like twice.
Whatever. Is he still around?
I think he's still there in Riverside.
Down in the cage there? Choppa.
And then, of course, I got to portray Choppa twice in Gridiron.
You did.
As the foul-mouthed beaver.
The foul-mouthed beaver, Choppa. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Well, okay. Yeah, it kind of was. one of my better characters over the years.
Foul-mouthed beaver, yeah.
He was not pleased.
You've played some good ones, but Choppa the foul-mouthed beaver. Not bad. It's a tarantula season, mating season in the Colorado Plains.
Oh, hey now.
Male spiders scurry out of their burrows in search of a mate. Hundreds of arachnophiles, I guess as far as arachima, whatever, flock to the small town of La Junta every year to watch them emerge, these tarantulas, in droves.
Wonderful.
I'd like to see that. Maybe to get some video. Scientists, spider enthusiasts, and curious Colorado families piled into buses just before the dusk last weekend.
Spider enthusiasts.
As tarantulas began to roam. Back in town, festival goers flaunted their tarantula-like traits in a hairy leg contest and paraded around in vintage cars with giant spiders on the hoods. For many, it was an opportunity to celebrate spiders with others who shared their
fascination. Well, there you go. Yeah, well, something for everyone.
Tarantulas. Okay.